All right. Good afternoon, New Philly. My name is Paul, one of the campus pastors here at New Philly, Sydney. Just want to say welcome to everyone. It's good to be here with you guys to worship with you. I'm excited to share the Word of God with you today. I feel like this, what I'm preaching on is the theme has been kind of being, parts have been being shared at our Sunday swim prayer meeting, even Pastor Jamie a few minutes ago. And so, yeah, I'm really excited for this. Let's open up our Bibles to the Psalms. We're looking at Psalm 1. All right, I'm going to read from Psalm 1. This is from the ESV, English Standard Version. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. This is God's word. Please pray with me. Father God, we just thank you for your word, and I pray that you would just give grace right now. Would you anoint this message and anoint me with your Holy Spirit, God? Help me to speak with your heart, with your love. Help me to speak what you want me to speak. And I pray that you would open up the hearts of everybody who's here to hear and to receive your word, God. And I pray that it will bear good fruit into our lives, 30, 60, 100-fold. So we ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. There was an epidemic going around Australia and America and many parts of the world last year. This was an epidemic of happy. Pharrell, his very catchy song, number one on the charts for quite some time. Happy, right? So catchy. That song was in my head all of last year. Even when I didn't want it to be. It's really catchy, you know, because I'm happy, clap your hands, you know what I mean? And everybody's clapping your hands, you're moving to the beat. You know, that music video is really catchy too. You got like old people, young people, little kids just dancing, having a good time. Hey, we're just happy. You know, can't nothing bring me down, you know what I mean? How's the lyrics go? I can't nothing bring, anyways, right? So like, you know, I'm happy. You can't do nothing about it because I'm happy. You know, we all want to be happy. They even made like a 24-hour video to that song. Just going for 24 hours. Just be happy all the time. And, you know, I enjoyed the music video. I enjoyed the song. It's very lighthearted. It's very fun. But, you know, is that message true? Is happiness so easily attained? Can't nothing bring me down? You know what I mean? Some of us are just generally more happy than others. But, you know, we all seek after this happiness, this quality, this being happy. And the Bible also talks about being happy. And one of the words the Bible uses to talk about being happy is the word blessed. You see, we're looking at the book of Psalms, and we're looking at the first Psalm, Psalm 1, and the first word in the first Psalm is the word blessed. It says, blessed is the man. Because Psalms, it's a book about how to find blessing. And if you look at the last Psalm, Psalm 150, it ends with praise the Lord. It's again about blessing, but now the praise is directed up to God. So we get a hint of where we find our blessedness, where we find our happiness, where we find that deep joy. And that's what I want to look at today. Right? We're looking at this Psalm. We're looking at how do you be happy? How do you find blessing? Where's the blessed life? Can anything bring me down? You know, is it just you just dance and you just have a good time? You know, it might sound crazy what I'm about to say, but, you know, what does the Bible say about how do we find this blessedness? And I think we're going to find that the Bible is little countercultural. It's a little bit different from what we expect from the what the world tells us. How do we become happy? And it tells us this in the first psalm. And so this is a really important psalm because it's introducing the entire book of Psalms. And I love the book of Psalms. It's one of my favorite books in the Bible because it's really about connecting with God. Right? It's a lot of prayers in this book. Just offering up our hearts to God, really connecting with Him. Ends with a lot of praise. So it's a really good book. It has its ups and downs. You know, there's a lot of crying in the book as well. But yeah, we're looking at the first psalm. What does it teach us about how to find this blessedness? You know, one of the in the first psalm, the imagery is contrasting two pictures. These are two different kinds of people, and they are represented by two pictures, okay? So we have one tree on the one hand. This is the blessed man. The blessed man is like a tree planted by streams of water, okay? And then the other man who's not blessed is like chaff. It says the wicked are like chaff. What does that mean? You know, if you know anything about agriculture, I'm not exactly an expert, but chaff is, you know, when you harvest the grain, when you harvest the crop, chaff is that little husk that the grain is contained in, right? And it's like the little sleeve. It's really light. And what farmers would do is they would throw the grain into the air when the wind's blowing. They would take their winnowing fork. I don't really know how it works, but this is what they do, right? And they throw it into the air, and then the wind's blowing. They take that fork, and what the wind blows away the chaff because nobody wants chaff. You know, recently I made myself a salad a few days ago. It was really delicious. Beetroot. That's how Aussies say it. Beetroot salad. And one of the things I put in there was chickpeas. And I don't know why, but the chickpeas we bought, like, I was washing it, and then the cover, the husk, was just falling off. And it was nasty. I was like, who wants to eat this husk? You know, it's like the chaff, right? I was like trying to throw it all away, but it's so much in there. Every single chick. Yeah, that's what it's like. This grain is contained inside the shell, this outer shell. And the substance, what you want, that's the inside. That's the kernel. That's the grain itself. But you don't want the chaff. Like, nobody wants the chaff. You just throw it away. And you want to separate. You want to get rid of it, right? And what the Bible says is some people are like this tree, but a lot of people are like this chaff. And I feel like we live in a generation of chaff. We live in a chaffy generation. We are a chaffy people. What do I mean? Chaff is very light. And unlike a tree, a chaff has no roots. And I believe we live, you know, if you don't have roots, if you're like chaff, anytime the wind blows, you just float away wherever the wind goes. And we live in a generation that's really rootless. We don't have a lot of substance, but we're like chaff. We're just empty. You ever feel empty in your life? You ever experience what it's like to be a chaff? You ever feel like you're not that significant? Like your life doesn't really matter? Like you're just kind of just floating, just drifting all the time, not really rooted? You know what I mean? I feel like we live in that kind of generation. And, you know, especially in our 20s, because, you know, you know, Pastor David, Pastor Diddy, who just read, you know, he's getting old, right? He's about to turn 30. He can't even read his Bible anymore in small print. Okay, somebody get this man a large print Bible for his birthday, okay? It's coming up in a couple weeks, all right? Praise the Lord, so he can read his Bible. But, you know, he's about to turn 30. You know, when you get in your 30s, you have children, you get married. A lot of people start talking about, oh, I want to put down roots somewhere. You know, I want to settle down, I want to put down roots. Right? Just really settle down in one place. But when we're young, we don't have commitments like a marriage, like a family. You know, a lot of people in their 20s talking about, oh, I just want to explore the world. There's so much out there. Oh, man, all these cities. And people go from job to job. They go from city to city a few years in each place. They don't put their roots down. And if you just continue to live like that, you start to sense this inner sense of just rootlessness. And you don't, like, lack of being rooted, and that starts to affect us, and, you know, we just want to go explore, but I feel like just our generation, we're really rootless, we really lack a lot of substance, we're weightless, and what does the Bible have to say about this? It's really interesting. You know, one of the things about being rooted is that when you, like, if you settle down in one place, that means you can't live in all the other places that you wanted to live. So you're kind of restricting your freedom. You're kind of limiting yourself, limiting your options. But we live in a day, we live in a time when we have so many options, right? Every single thing, you know, they talk about decision paralysis. We just have so many options, just even down to the most insignificant things that don't even matter. You know, every single thing, we have a million options we live with today. And we have options about what career we want to do, who we want to date, who we want to be in a relationship with, what city we want to live in. We have so many options. And what it's doing, we're just in our generation, we're a people who've lost our roots. We're people who've lost our sense of substance, like inner reality. And we're just floating. We're a floating generation. I really feel that. And we're looking to things to find our substance. We're looking to so many things out there. We think, oh, if I could just really succeed in my career, I mean, if I move up the ladder, get that promotion, if I make it, or maybe we look to academics and school, and we think, oh, if I really learn this well and I master it and I get good marks, or you know, we find it in somewhere. We're just searching for meaning. We're searching for the sense of significance, the sense of substance. We're looking everywhere. If I just find the right person, you know, that special someone, that one true love. We're looking everywhere for this, but we're all just so floating. You know, one thing to the next. We go from one job to the next. We go from one relationship to the next. We go from one church to the next. We don't know how to make commitments anymore. Why? Because I want options. I want freedom. Our generation, we love freedom. You know, I don't want to be tied down anywhere. I mean, I want to enjoy my freedom. But here's the thing. If you have freedom, then you can't put down roots. But if you put down roots, you lose some freedom. You gotta understand this balance. You see, if you're free from putting down roots, if you're free from anybody telling you what to do or what's the right thing to do, and you can decide however you want to live, I'll do what I want. Yeah, you can be free. But you know what? A chaff is free. It's just floating around forever. A tumbleweed is free. It's not rooted. It's just floating around, being blown by the wind. Every time the wind blows, what is the culture saying now? What's the new trend? You know, what are the new thoughts that the cultures, you know, the people in the magazines and newspapers, the thought leaders are saying? You know, anytime the wind blows, we're just dragged along. There's no roots. Whatever our friends are doing, we don't have any substance inside within ourselves that doesn't change, that remains constant, that defines who we are. We're just hollow. We're empty. We are chaff. A lot of us, we're chaff. We don't have that. And the Bible says, if you're like that, you know, you might think you're finding blessedness. You might think you're finding freedom that way, but that's not where the blessed man finds his happiness. You see, it compares this tree that's rooted. Man, and look at this tree. It's planted by streams of water, yields its fruit in season. Its leaf does not wither. It stays green all year long. It's just so full of life. It's just so fruitful. But it's rooted. It's in one place. There's something about it that doesn't change. Even when friends and the world starts to change and they tell us different things, it remains constant. It remains the same. Even when the winds of just trial and suffering and tough times are coming, it's not just being blown left and right. It's not tossed and turned by the waves. So many of us, we're so driven by the wind. What the world is saying and doing, what our feelings are telling us right now. And we don't know how to be constant. We don't know how to have this substance, how to have this rootedness. And I believe we have a good lesson to learn here from Psalm 1. And for me, when I look at our church, like, I don't want us to be a church full of young people who are just rootless and weightless and insignificant and just floating all the time. I mean, it's easy to be like that. But I want us to grow as a people who understand our identity, understand who we are firm and strong. Because think about it. If you have roots, then you can handle storms. The storm blows. The winds are blowing hard. You're not just going to be uprooted and thrown away. No, you're going to be able to stand firm because you have roots. When people pressure you to be sacrifice your integrity at work or at school, or they pressure you to do the wrong thing, and you're rooted, you can stand your ground and say no. And say, no, this is who I am. I can't do that. I'm not doing that. Because you're rooted. You have an anchor. When the waves are blowing, you have an anchor. You know who you are. And that's what I want us to be like. And that's what the Bible says we can be like. But first, we got to understand what kind of generation we live in, right? We live in such a superficial generation. I'm sorry if you're offended, okay? But that's just what I see. Facebook. All right, I'm on Facebook. All right, some of you guys are telling me like, oh, Pastor Paul, you got to be on Facebook more. How come you never post? Okay, right? I'm just not good with it. Maybe I'll try to learn. But the thing about Facebook is that you have 1,000 friends, maybe more, but it's superficial. It's not, there's no substance. Right? All right. If you're sending like, okay, I'm just saying in general, all right? It's superficial. Okay, you might have a very, very impressive Facebook profile, your about button, right? Oh, this person's so cool. Look at the music they like and their interests. And you know what I mean? But I'm just making fun. But you know what? The life of a chaff is, it's all about the external. It's all about what's on the outside. What you show yourself to be. The front that you put up. The mask that you put on. What people see you as. But hey, beneath that, underneath that facade, what's down deep under there that even when people don't see? Is there something that stays the same? Is there something that's constant? We live just things like Facebook, Twitter. Is it 140 or 158? 140 characters? All right, I'm sorry. I don't know. One of those, right? It's like you can't. How deep are you gonna go? 140 characters. I'm just saying. Just our generation. We don't know how to go deep. We don't know how to put down roots. And our relationships are pretty shallow. Our lives are just pretty shallow overall. We know how to spin ourselves. We know how to market ourselves. We know how to put up a good front, whether it's online, whether it's in person. But hey, what's the substance inside? You know what I mean? Because we can't live just floating around all our days. And here, the Bible says, hey, you can find that substance. You can find that inner reality, but you got to be rooted in something. You got to put down your roots in something beyond yourself. Because if your roots are just in yourself and how you feel and what you want to do, your feelings are going to change. Your views are going to change. You're just going to be changing all the time. You're still going to have no roots. You need to have your roots in something outside of yourself, something that doesn't change, something that's constant, maybe something that stood the test of time, thousands of years across many, many cultures, many, many societies down through the generations, something like the Bible. Maybe. What does it say here? It says, "What this tree is like, he's like the man, blessed is this man, verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord." It's talking about the Bible. "And on his law he meditates day and night." You see, oh snap. All right. You see, this Bible is constant. It stood the test of time. Through generations, across hundreds of cultures, you know, so many different societies, over so, you know, many, many centuries, many, many people have staked their lives on this word of God. And it stood that test of time. If you find your roots in the word of God, then that's when you start to live a life of substance. Where you're not just blown around every which way all the time. No, people are saying one thing. They're putting pressure on you. No, my convictions are rooted in the word. It's constant. It stays the same. I have beliefs. I have a certain way that I live. I know my identity because of the word of God because it doesn't change. You see, and what happens is, if you root yourself in anything else, think about it. The world is changing all the time. And 100 years ago, people thought, man, you know, just a few decades ago, people were like, oh, capitalism is the answer to the world's problems. You know, it was like capitalism for social. I don't want to get too academic and intellectual, right? But all I'm saying is capitalism is not what people thought it was going to be. It's changed. People thought they knew, but they were actually pretty off about it. Now you look at capitalism, so much oppression, so much inequality. You know what I mean? The middle class is being hollowed out. Is capitalism the answer? People thought so. The Enlightenment. I don't want to get too intellectual, right? I'm an intellectual, so I like to think about that stuff. All I'm saying is, like, listen, even what the world thinks is true, what the world thinks is right, what the world tells you, it changes all the time. And if that's what you root yourself in, it's going to be changing. Sometimes it changes within a couple years, sometimes over decades, but that's not something to root your life in. How about something that's through the centuries, who had an author who was perfect, whose author actually created the world and designed it the way it is, and he knows how it works, and he tells us how life works and how we ought to live and who we were made for and what we were created to do. And if you meditate and understand the law of the Lord, then you will be able to live a life of substance. See, for me, right? Before I became a Christian, I had no purpose in life. I was just some young punk, okay? And I was just living for my own desires, my own pleasures, doing whatever I wanted. Nobody could tell me what to do. And I was so empty. There's no meaning in my life. I thought I was having fun. I thought I was happy. I thought I was blessed. But, you know, when things would slow down and I would actually reflect and think about my life, it was like, my life is so empty. It's so meaningless. That's why I didn't like being quiet. You know, I didn't like, you know, being alone, because I would start to think about these things. So I would just busy myself. But that's what we do. You know, we can't face that inner meaninglessness, that emptiness. We're afraid to look inside. But the Bible says, have you rooted yourself in the law of the Lord, the word of God? You know, in the Bible, it talks about God's glory. And this word glory in the Hebrew is the word kavod. And that word, the meaning is, it means weight. It means it's heavy. Like, if you've ever experienced, encountered God's glory, there's a weightiness about his glory. It's not light. It doesn't just get blown about by public opinion or by our feelings or by, you know what I mean? There's a weight, there's a sense of heaviness. That's what God's glory is. And the Bible says, okay, Jonathan Edwards, you know, he was a Puritan. I don't know if you guys, you know, he was in America. Anyways, when he wrote this book called The End for Which God Created the World, really hard to read because he's like this philosopher, and it's even hard for me to read. But what he said was, the main idea behind that book was, the whole point of the Bible and the whole point of all of creation comes down to one phrase: the glory of God. That's what the whole universe is about. That's where it's heading. That's where it's heading towards, the glory of God. And the Bible says we were created to experience the glory of God. We were created to have weight, to have substance. But where do we find that? You can't find that anywhere else. The Bible says you find that in God. As you come to know God's glory, as you come to experience his weightiness, his substance, as you join in with that, then your life starts to have substance and meaning. And that's what it was like for me. Before I met God, I was just floating. I was just a chaff, floating around, no meaning, living for nothing greater than just my own desires. What an empty life! You just live for your desires. I mean, talk about weightlessness, right? Talk about meaninglessness. We think that's the way to blessedness. The Bible says no. When you do that, you start to you start to live a life of chaff. And, you know, we want freedom. We don't want to be, the Bible tells me what to do. I don't want none of that. You know, people telling me what to do, I'm going to do what I want. And yeah, you'll have your freedom, but you're going to be living a life of chaff. But the Bible says we were created for so much more. So much more. We're spending our lives like chaff, like husks. We're not experiencing the true substance. The Bible says the only thing that's going to last is God and His glory. And all people, because we are eternal. But we're ending up with a certain destiny, depending on how we respond to God's glory. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But here's the thing. Only God has substance. Only God has this weightiness apart from anything else, just in itself. God alone is glorious. God alone is holy. God alone is true reality. And if you're living for anything else, what you're going to find is that is so light, it's so weightless, it's meaningless. But the moment that I started turning my life towards God and I started living for Him, I found something for the first time in my life. I finally found purpose. I finally found meaning. Like, I'm living for something that's going to last forever. The Bible says all flesh is grass. It's talking about people. All flesh is grass. All its beauty, like the flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone. And its place remembers it no more. It's like, that's kind of depressing, but it's true. We're all like grass. Grass is here today, gone tomorrow. We're like a flower. All the glorious achievements that we think we're going to achieve in life, all the grand ambitions and plans that we think we're going to achieve, that we think we're going to do, all the free exploration, all the sensual pleasure, all these things, it says the wind blows over it and it's gone. And no one's going to remember you. Like, if you're lucky, 2 generations after you die, like 10 people will remember you. But most of us, nobody's going to remember us. Even the most glorious things we may achieve, it's chaff. That's what the Bible says, it's chaff. But if you live for God, for the glory of God, and you join in with His purposes, what He's doing, the Bible says all flesh is grass, all its beauty like the flower of the field, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord stands forever. It is eternal, it endures, and it lasts. See, God's word never changes. And if we live for Him, man, there's purpose. There's meaning. And what I'm saying is, I'm not saying everybody's got to be like work in the church or be a pastor like me. No, you don't got to do that, right? Well, there's a few people who are called to the ministry in this way. But I'm saying, do you live your life for the Lord? Are you living? You know, I'm not, even if you're a Christian, even if you're a believer, it's not just what you think or believe in your head. It's those your roots of your heart, is it going down deep into God? You can be a Christian, but not be rooted deeply in the Lord. You can be living so superficial, life on the surface, because it's so easy to do that. It's so easy to go along with the ways of the world. This is very countercultural. You know, my wife, in high school, she was, how do I say this nicely? A bit of a nerd. I'm sorry. But she loved studying, and she was like an athlete nerd slash. Anyways, I'm sorry, right? But basically, one of the things she studied philosophy, this philosophy called existentialism, and existentialism is you take out God. And it's like, what is life for? What's the meaning? And all you have left is yourself. I may not be perfectly accurate, okay? I'm just summarizing. And this one existentialist philosopher, he wrote a book called The Unbearable Lightness of Being. You don't even got to read the book. Like, just the title is all you need. I didn't even read the book, right? Like, we have a copy of that. We have like 2 copies of that book. I don't know why you need 2 copies of the same book. But The Unbearable Lightness of Being. And she was... Yeah, I'm sorry, but yeah, you know, like existentialism. You remove God, If you don't believe in God, you don't have God anymore, like what else is left besides yourself and your feelings and your emotions? And you're just being blown about. There's nothing to be rooted in. You know, you might live for your career, especially nowadays. We have more free time than ever. Some people are living for their hobbies. It's good to have a hobby. I need some more hobbies. I only have one. Sports. Okay, Pastor Jamie said, I need some more broader interest. Okay, right, but it's good to have a hobby. Okay, but like, if you're living for hobbies, you know, it could be anything. If you're just living for your career, if you're just living for money, if you're living for adventure and travel, if that's what you're living for, if that's what your heart is rooted in, like, you might get that thrill for a little bit, but like, you just keep living that, and you start to sense like it's empty. It's weightless. There's no kavod. There's no weight. There's no glory. But we were created for so much more. See, we're a generation. We got to learn how to make a commitment. And, you know, the Bible says you become like what you worship. Whatever you're worshiping, whatever you're bowing down to, or whatever you're living for, you become like it. So that's why the Bible says if you live for worldly things like hobbies or career or money, you know, what are those things? The Bible says the idols of the world, they don't see, they don't speak, they're deaf. It's just, you just become cold, lifeless, dead. Just like these things you're living for. But if you worship God, you start to become like God. And you become alive. And you become a person of substance. And you become more joyful and blessed. Because let me tell you what, the happiest being, the most blessed being in the universe is God. God is so happy. He could sing that song 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365, forever. Okay, you know what I mean? But his happiness is a weighty happiness. Right? You guys get the point, though. And so we become like what we worship. And as the deeper your roots grow into the Word of God, the deeper it's going to be your sense of substance, that inner reality that's beneath that show, beneath that mask, beneath the surface. And you're going to start to live that kind of life. And that's what I experienced 10 years ago, 11 years ago, something like that, when I met the Lord. I found purpose. I never smiled before I met God. I've told this before. I never smiled, even in elementary school, primary school. Did I tell you guys this in the elementary school yearbook? This girl was like, I leave Paul a smile because he never... Who doesn't smile when they're a kid, right? But it's like, I didn't even smile. I just... Okay, so, you know, I went through some things when I was young. I just thought life was pointless. Right? I thought there was no purpose. But man, I found the Lord. Man, I started to get to know him. It's like, man, there was life. And there was a joy that the winds of circumstance, suffering, trials, no matter what came, I was able to handle it, keep my joy, keep my sense of who I am, because I was rooted in the Lord. Are you living a rooted life? How do you get this rooted life? It says, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Do you delight in God's word? Hey, even if you're a Christian, do you delight in God's word? Do you meditate on this? Like, is it your best companion? Does it guide you hour by hour, day by day? You know, are you thinking about it as you wake up, in the watches of the night when you can't sleep, throughout the day? Is this your meditation? Are your roots in the word of God? Christian brothers and sisters, do you meditate on the word? Or are you just skimming off the surface? And as a result, you're living a life of chaff. You can be a Christian and still be floating. Because you know what? To meditate means you go deep. Right? And this is not like Eastern meditation where you just empty your mind and you just connect with the life force of the world. You know, all that stuff, like, You know, they believe what they believe. That's cool. Okay, but I'm just saying Christian meditation is a little bit different because you're not emptying your mind. You're filling your mind. And you're putting your heart in this content. There's words. And it's not just reading. Okay? Meditation is not just reading. I just want to teach you guys. When you read the Bible and you just go through it, you can read like several chapters, but your heart not really root itself in it. Meditating means you slow down, you reread, you think about it. Sometimes I'm like reading the Bible, and I'll just read one chapter in a day, and I'll go so deep. And that feeds my heart more than reading like 10 chapters. You know, sometimes it's just like one verse, and God's just speaking to me. It's like, oh, you know, it's like shining light is the glory of God. I'm just like meditating on a verse. It's been like 30 minutes. I'm like, what have I been doing, you know? But that's what, you know, are you meditating? Are you delighting in this? And what it says is, in the psalm, right? It's Psalm 1. That means it's the book, it's the psalm that introduces this book of prayer. Think about how deep the people of the psalms, the people who wrote the psalms, how deeply they're connecting with God. How do you find that kind of deep connection? You got to meditate. I mean, some of us, some of you guys come here and you're like, oh man, people at New Philly, they're so passionate. But I'm just not like that. I'm more of a just calm type. You know what I mean? I don't want to raise my hands. I'm saying, like, have you ever meditated on the Word of God? Have you ever meditated to the point it starts to burn in your heart? Luke 24, Jesus is walking with two disciples. He's opening up those scriptures to them. And then, you know, he disappears. Like, you know, Jesus kind of does some strange things. And then after he disappears, they're like, did not our hearts burn within us while he opened to us the scriptures? Has your heart ever burned for God? Where did that come from? He's opening up the scriptures. Psalm 39 says, while I mused, while I meditated, the fire burned. Some of you guys want this passion. Let me tell you, you meditate on the law of the Lord. It's like, you know, when you have a fire and you just burn paper, that fire dies away really quickly, right? But if you put substance on there, like logs, you put a bunch of logs, it may take a little bit of time. It doesn't burn as quickly as paper, but it burns a lot brighter, a lot hotter, and a lot longer. You know, sometimes the Word of God, it's not like burning paper. Like, you're reading it, I don't understand what this means. You know what I mean? And like, oh, you know, you should get a study Bible and read the notes. Oh, yeah, but, you know, that takes a lot of time. You know what I mean? We're trying to get, like, deep insights. We're trying to root ourselves in the law of God. We're reading it 5 minutes a day. You're like trying to light paper and you want this deep fire. No, you can't get it like that. You got to meditate. You got to slow yourself down. That's hard to do in our busy, busy age. We're a busy, busy people. But you got to learn to meditate. Why? Because if you do that, you will be like this tree planted by streams of water. Actually, that word planted means transplanted. It means it was taken from somewhere else and taken to the stream. You can transplant your heart from whatever you're nourishing your heart right now into God's word. And it's like streams of water, which nourishes your soul and feeds your soul with his love, his truth, his grace. And it sustains you. It says it yields its fruit in its season. You know, we go through seasons in our Christian lives, right? It's not always the same. We're not always just bursting out with joy. You know, even in the Christian life, we go through sorrow. We go through times and we're going through suffering. But you yield the right fruit in the right season. In suffering, you'll have perseverance and hope. When you're prospering, a holy joy, a humble joy. The right fruit for the right season. How? Meditate on the law of the Lord. It says its leaf does not wither. That's a leaf that's always fresh, always full of life, always nourished. It's always green. Don't you want to be like that? Then you could sing Pharrell's song. Can't nothing hold me down. Can't no trials, my circumstances, it can't come at me because I'm rooted in the law of the Lord. Because I'm rooted. All right, I'm just kidding. Okay. In all that he does, he prospers. It doesn't say everything, like it doesn't say all his work prospers. It says in all that he does, he prospers. He can be going through anything, and he's going to prosper. You can't take him down. You can't hold him down because he's rooted. He's like the tree. Don't you want to be like that tree? Don't you want to have some substance? Don't you want to be able to be fruitful Here's another difference between a tree and a chaff. Tree is fruitful. Chaff is useless. Ain't nobody collect chaff. Like, ain't nobody gather chaff. You know what I mean? Like, that'd be just really weird. Okay? Chaff, everybody throws it out. Nobody wants chaff. You just burn it. That's what the farmers did, right? You just, those chickpeas, those little shells, I just threw them out. Never want to see that again. You know what I mean? And chaff is useless. It's good for nothing. But if you're rooted in the law of the Lord, you're fruitful. And man, that fruit, like fruit tastes good. It refreshes people. It provides nourishment. You're going to be able to be a blessing. You're going to be able to be fruitful for God. You're going to be useful for the Lord. Because you're going to be a person whose heart and life is rooted in God. That's a pretty awesome thing, right? So which one are you going to be? Okay, there's two people. One's like a tree, one's like a chaff. Is your heart rooted in God? Is there this one thing that you're holding on to that doesn't change, that remains constant, in which you find your life and your source and your joy? And here's the thing, right? I just want to open up just a little bit more in this scripture. Blessed is this man. He doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked. That word counsel, that's a mental thing, right? That's an intellectual thing. It's the advice. It's the counsel. Let me tell you something. It's hard to be a Christian today because the world's teachings of this world are so at odds with Christian faith. Like 100 years ago, it was easier in the Western world because a lot of Christian beliefs were assumed. Even if you weren't a Christian, you believed in those things. Like the same beliefs. Like marriage is one man, one woman. Like everybody believed that. Now, it's like, oh wait, no, is there a same-sex marriage? You know, soon I wouldn't be surprised if like you could marry more than one partner. In certain parts of the United States, people are fighting for that. It's just what's going to happen. And so we're living in a world where just the beliefs are so different. And we're just living and breathing that. And it's hard to be a Christian in this life, in this time, because the counsel, the advice, the teaching of, you know, this word wicked, it sounds really bad. Like, wicked. Like, who uses that word wicked anymore? I know it's the name of that play, right? It's a really good play. But the counsel of the wicked, like, basically that word wicked means someone who is living without God. You know, wicked, we think of like, oh, you're doing some really crazy stuff. No, you're just living without God. And the teaching of this world without God is leading to a life of chaff. And you got to be able to understand what the Word of God says. You walk not in the counsel of the wicked. You do not stand in the way of sinners. You do not sit in the seat of scoffers. The company you keep, the kind of people you surround yourself with, it's going to influence you. It's going to impact you. Are you going to be tossed and turned every which way your friends go? Or are you going to be rooted? And let me just say one last thing. Verse 5 and 6, it says, therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. It's like, that's kind of offensive. It's like, we're not going to stand in the judgment. You know, it says you're not going to stand in judgment. That's before God. Because God's the one who judges us. And the sinners are not going to stand in the congregation of the righteous. That means with God's people. So you can't stand before God and you can't stand with God's people. You're like chaff. And let me tell you something. What is it saying here? If you're not standing before God and you're not standing with God's people, in eternity, there's only one place left. And the Bible talks about it. It's not a very fun place to be. Right? It's not a popular teaching in our day. It seems really intolerant, but it's what the Bible teaches, and I just got to say it. It's eternal conscious torment in hell. And it says, if you live a life of chaff, and you're not living for God, if you haven't put your trust in God and in Jesus and what he's done for you, but you're living for yourself, it says it right there. Verse 6. The Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The last word in that psalm is the opposite of blessing. There's a blessed man, and there's a man who perishes. And this is the contrast. And while in this life, we not only face the consequences, you feel rootless, you feel weightless, you feel insignificant, you feel like you have no substance, but also your destiny is the opposite of the blessed man as well. I know this is not a popular teaching, right? I don't say these things lightly because I'm sure like some of you guys are being offended right now. And, you know, the Bible is kind of offensive. No, it is. Like, but God's not afraid to say offensive things. You know what I mean? He's not, you know what I mean? Like, if I, you know, Apostle Paul says in Galatians, am I now seeking to please man or please God? If I was driven by wanting to please people, then I would be like this chaff, just turning to the left and right. No, but I'm rooted in the Word and what the Word says. And this is offensive. And the gospel is offensive. Because the gospel says, you are wicked. You are like this chaff person. You are wicked. Every single one of us here, the Bible says you are a sinner. And you are a much worse person than you ever thought you were. Than you ever dreamed you were. That's what the Bible calls total depravity. It's like, that's offensive. Yeah, it's offensive. But here's the thing. The gospel, that's only half the gospel. The first half says, you're so wicked because you're a sinner. But the other half says, but Jesus, out of his great love for you, he died the death that you deserve to die as a sinner. He died a sinner's death. Good Friday, in a few days, we're remembering Jesus dying on a cross. And you know what the cross means? We deserve that cross. We deserve to die. We deserve eternal punishment from God because we have rebelled against him. We are wicked. That's what the Bible says. But out of his great love, he died for you on that cross, in your place. And if you believe in him, if you trust in him that he did that for you, then you can be saved. You can be delivered. And you can stand in the judgment. And you can stand in the congregation of the righteous because of what Jesus has done. Man, you know, when I think about the cross, it's like, you know what the cross is? It's an indictment on how wicked we are, how evil we are. Like, when I look at the cross, it's like, Paul, you are so wicked, Paul. Like, you are so wicked. That's how wicked you are. You deserve to die. But Jesus died for me. And he offers that to each one of us here. Have you trusted in Christ? Have you believed in him? If you get to know him, you'll be like this tree and you'll be able to stand your ground, not only in this life, but for eternity. See, the gospel's offensive in an attractive way. It says, you are a wicked sinner, but God loves you and you can come to him. It's an attractive offensiveness. It's like getting slapped in the face in a nice way. Like, oh, that kind of felt bad, but it felt good. I mean, because you did it out of love or something like that. I don't know. I didn't think this through. I just thought of it on the spot, right? Well, that's what the gospel is. And that's some good news. If you come to know Jesus and you trust in him and you put your heart's roots in him, I'm telling you, we're made for so much more. Right? We're created for glory. There's a capacity for glory in each one of us. We're made for so much more than just living for our, you know, whimsical delights and pleasures and desires of the moment. We're made for so much more. We're made for God. We're made for glory. We're made to live lives that matter. And we find that in the Lord. So I want to encourage you. Listen, I don't know what you believe. Right? You might, maybe you believe all this. You believe in the Bible. Maybe you don't. Maybe you're offended. Maybe you're not sure what you believe. Maybe you're in process somewhere along the way. Listen, I just want to encourage you. Like, learn about not only the Word of God, but the God of the Word. I mean, because ultimately, the law of the Lord is pointing to the Lord of the law, the God who's behind this word. This God is amazing. If you experience His glory, it's like there's nothing else you want to live for. All right, let's pray. Oh, actually, I'm sorry. False alarm. I just wanted to read one quote. Okay. This is a quote, again, by Jonathan Edwards. Sorry for the false alarm. It's a quick quote, right? Jonathan Edwards, this is what he wrote. He says, God is the highest good of the reasonable creature, and the enjoyment of Him is the only happiness with which our souls can be satisfied. To go to heaven fully to enjoy God is infinitely better than the most pleasant accommodations here. Fathers and mothers, husbands, wives, children, or the company of earthly friends, these are but shadows. But the enjoyment of God is the substance. These are but scattered beams, but God is the sun. These are but streams, but God is the fountain. These are but drops, but God is the ocean. We're created to delight in God and know God with all of our hearts, all of our beings. So let's seek after Him. Let's pursue hard after Him. Because that's the path to blessedness. All right, now we're going to pray. Let's pray. Father God, God, a lot of us, we're just floating in life. We're like chaff. And yeah, we feel empty. We feel lost, without direction, without weight, without substance. But God, I just pray that You would reveal Yourself. You would reveal Your glory. Just like Moses prayed, God, show us Your glory. Show us what we were made for. To worship You and to live for You and to live lives that matter. Because our lives do matter, God. We're created for so much more, Lord. So God, help us to find our delight in You. Delight in the law of the Lord. Help us to be a people who are rooted, who have substance, who are able to make commitments. God, help us to be that kind of community, that kind of church, that kind of people. So God, we pray these things in Jesus' name.